All right, 810 at WGCL. Keith Klein and Sue Wanzer both serve on the MCCSC school board and join us every Thursday morning just after 8:05 to talk local school issues. Sue, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm a little tired and a little sad from staying up so late last night. I bet you are too. Well, tired, not sad.
Tired. No, I'm not sad. Sue is a Cleveland Indians lifer, and Sue, someone, sadly, someone had to be on the losing side of that. Again, wonderful comeback by the Indians, but sadly, I think even the biggest fan and any of us can see that Chicago a little bit deeper, a little bit better pitching, and just not the luck you might have needed in a game seven there.
But isn't that the way that it should end? I mean, extra innings in the seventh game, you know, that was pretty exciting.
From a dramatic standpoint, from a neutral like myself, yes. Just to see what was going to happen. And for the Cub fans, they would have played 27 innings. It wouldn't have bothered them. And the Cleveland fans would have played 27 as well. Mm-hmm. If their team would have come out on top. But I don't know. Starts at 8 o'clock. It's over at 12:47. Doesn't hurt when you win, that's for sure. But you're right, a little tired today having to stay up through that. Keith and Sue both serve on the MCCSC school board and join us every Thursday morning to talk about local educational issues affecting our city. And obviously big news last week we saw on the north side of some students wearing some gear that was causing a disturbance in the daily school schedule. And Jeff Henderson and North had a decision to make, and they changed the dress code, Keith, Sue, on this. They said that the Confederate flag, since it was being disruptive, found a Supreme Court case that supported their view on that. And away you go. We haven't heard anything about it this week. That's good news, I would think, correct?
Well, yeah, that is good news. You know, and that was a really tough situation for our school, for the students, for our staff. For parents, you know, the one thing about the Supreme Court case that was cited by Mr. Henderson, Tinker versus Des Moines, also says that students don't lose their right to free speech when they walk through the schoolhouse door.
Correct.
However, when it becomes disruptive, and it was pretty clear that it did become disruptive, and we're really hoping to find a balance where kids can express themselves, but certainly not do it at the expense of others or make other people feel less or feel oppressed or feel hurt in any way. So it really is a tough decision with the way that kids want to express themselves. But so far I think we found a pretty good resolution, and I'm very proud of our superintendent for welcoming in students last week. Inviting them in when they went to, I guess maybe they went to protest or confront the situation, those kids who were bothered by the Confederate flag. And what I'm hoping is when she said that we would like students to be talking to the administrators on a regular basis, that mean all students, also the students wearing the Confederate flag or students who have questions about how to express themselves. Let's keep this conversation going with kids. I think that's great.
Well, and one of the issues, as you pointed out, Sue, was the free speech is not what's at heart of this. The issue for Jeff Henderson was disruption of the educational process. And
right.
That's what they're trying to protect. Kids have a right to express themselves and all of that as long as it doesn't disrupt the educational process. And this is not over, and you're going to have more conversations.
Good.
I, too, think that what Superintendent DeMuth did by inviting the students to meet in the administration building, sit down, have a conversation, air out what their grievances were, and then tell them what was going to happen was very, very well done on her part.
Well, exactly. And I heard from some parents. One particular parent who was there went with her child and heard from a couple of other parents through their children how impressed they were. And this is no surprise, Keith, to you or I, but of course the superintendent would welcome students
right.
in. Of course she would make her time available and wants to talk to those kids. So I just hope that, like you said, it's something that we can
talking about the issues and confronting the issues are the way to go about this, not sweeping them under the rug and
right.
hoping they go away, because that's just not
right.
how it works. I think the million-dollar question that everybody wants to know is, how come you have different policies at each school of what you can and can't do? Is that up to each school?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, the board passes the policies, and the superintendent writes the guidelines to fulfill those policies. Now, it's the way in which the principals might interpret that. But I for one, and this is just me, Sue.
And Sue doesn't work at North High School either, so that's the other part of
right.
this to remember.
But I would like to have some more consistency among all of our schools, whether it's about issues like this, or anything, whether it could be a trimester versus a
there
semester
you go.
System. I would just rather have some more consistency among our schools.
And again, this will we'll see how this plays out over time and develops. Again, things don't turn on and off anymore. That's just not that's not how it works. And we'll see what's
right.
happening.
And we're dealing with young people.
Yes, who need
who
to learn and grow
and
are just figuring out what boundaries
right.
can be pushed and are just,
right.
you can find anything you want to talk about on the internet. It's out there. And
right.
again, it's part of growing up. It's part of learning. And it's
exactly.
And if you don't learn from it, well, that's one thing. But you've got to have the opportunities to do so. And it sounds like they're being presented, keeping the conversation going. It's not a quote-unquote open and shut case. It's a continual conversation of evolution,
right.
and that's a,
well,
that's a good thing.
And as you're pointing out, Mike, school is a microcosm of society, and this is going on in society. It's going to be going on in
yeah,
the
grown
schools.
Adults are doing this stuff.
That's right.
It's not surprising that their children are following them or they're learning from those who they look up to. It's part of how it works, so you try to teach them the best you can do. Sue Wanzer and Keith
right.
Klein both serve on the MCCSE school board and check in with us every Thursday just after 8:05.
Sue, one of the things that I'm really, really ticked about is,
oh no.
Well, you know, we got an election coming up next Tuesday.
Yeah.
And the schools have known for well over 45 days, and I don't mean just MCCSE, I mean all over the state of Indiana, have known the results of the I-STEP test. But those results have been embargoed. In other words, we're not allowed to talk about it. And as a result of that, one of the issues is, theoretically, initially you embargo it so that the schools can look at the results and say, oh, wait a second, you included some kids that shouldn't have been included, or that score is not right, you know, here's some math errors, that kind of thing. They've had more than enough time to deal with that. But guess what? It's not going to be announced until after the election. Guess what? We've got candidates for superintendent of public instruction. We got gubernatorial candidates. This is an issue, but we're putting a blanket over it until after the election, and it just frosts me that, you know, and I'll tell you the other thing is, there's some estimates that the scores are in most cases overall 30% lower than they've been in
but
the past.
But if you can throw the scores out, what's the point?
Well, you throw the scores out for people that shouldn't have taken the test in the first place.
Oh, okay. That's a little bit different.
And this is these are one or two or three or four. It's not masses of numbers. It's just to make sure that we didn't score someone that shouldn't have been scored.
And it does get really frustrating, Keith, especially because we know that the I-STEP is being explored to have a new test put in. But that's being delayed to
2018 now.
Right. And so
we'll take a year
again,
off to celebrate the Cubs' victory.
No, we're going to get this test again. They're going to do this test was given last March. We still don't have the results of the test officially. This is insane.
And once again, people probably get tired of hearing us talk about it. But again, so what good has this test done us? The I-STEP is supposed to let people know, parents know, kids know, teachers know where somebody is in their learning, what it is they still need to learn. So if you go through half of a school year without the test results, it really isn't doing anything to help us. And once those scores are released, it seems like all anyone wants to do is use it to grade a school or grade a teacher and use that as part of an evaluation. And again, that's not what that test was designed
well, and
to
the
do.
The other thing, Sue, is as taxpayers, we paid a lot of money for this, and it's not being handled properly at all, let alone the fact you paid a lot of money to get results that you don't have.
Right. And we spent, there's a lot of time that goes into administering the test, getting kids ready for the test, which could be, that's time that could be used actually teaching
that's
and
right.
learning. And I'll go back to my best assessment that we have in our schools is our teachers at any given point can let anyone know, any student know, where they are in their learning and what they need to do or what they've learned. So, and again, it looks like, so we won't have a new test for at least a year and a half, and I assume that means we're going to use the old ISTEP over again.
That's what it sounds like to me.
For 1 year, for this one spring, and I'm just wondering if we're going to run into the same problems that we've run into for several years running now with the ISTEP.
Well, and you remember the controversy we had about, well, number one, it was going to be, what was it, 12 hours of testing, and there was some intervention, and they said, well, okay, we won't do 12, we'll do 10. You know, well, thanks for that. But yeah, it's just, and we haven't had a chance to discuss publicly the efficacy of the test that they did give.
Exactly. And that's what I would hope that this panel that the governor has appointed
the panel
would
that
do.
Met once a month?
Right. I would
yeah,
hope
right.
that they would have some kind of public discussions and discussions with other educators, discussions with testing and research.
Well, Sue, let me interrupt you because you have pointed this out multiple times. We've got Ball State. We've got Indiana University, major schools of education with experts in every possible way. Tap into those people. We're
exactly.
not.
Exactly. And we could do it for low cost or no cost to get that knowledge. There's a lot of people I know here in this community who periodically send letters to the editor about the problems with ISTEP. So let's use them. I'm really not sure what this committee is talking about each time they meet since they haven't really made any progress, but
let's have a meeting to have a meeting about our next committee, what time the meeting is.
That's well,
what
it's exactly. Can you say political because, you know, this legislator had this many appointments, the governor had that many and all. It's all political.
Speaking of political, Monday
yeah, we got an election
night football. No, that would get you ready for Tuesdays, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Early voting continues 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. today, Friday and Saturday, 8 to noon on Monday, and the election coming up on Tuesday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Four school board members up for re-election.
And the obviously the referendum, very important as well.
Mm-hmm.
That is question number two on the ballot.
All right.
And people are still confused about how they vote for school board. It doesn't matter where you live within the MCCSC jurisdiction. As long as you're a registered voter, you can vote for one candidate in each of the four races. That's District 2, 4, 5, and 6.
And a straight ticket vote does not do anything
no
for
right.
that.
That's right.
Got to go to the bottom of the ballot, the end of the ballot, go all the way through, and that's where you'll find the school board races. And I had somebody ask me recently on Facebook if background checks were done on people running for the school board. And really, the background check is voters voting for those people. That's really kind of our check and balance. But I thought that was a really interesting question because criminal background checks aren't done on people running for school board. But
are they done for people running for office either? I mean, that's the...
No, you're right.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got to do your own homework sometimes to see what's out there and who's out there. And don't forget as well, straight ticket votes will not help you pick county council people at large either. So there's
right.
you got to go through it and look.
I can't say for sure. I know that Sue's worked with Girl Scouts. I work with a youth organization. I am background checked. And I'm background checked criminally and driving.
You personally is great. I'm just saying that if you want to run for auditor, you're
right.
not getting
know,
a criminal background. Well, that's what we're talking about. That's
well,
part
and
of the
I've
deal.
Been, and I've had that too, but this was interesting because school board members, you know, go into schools and they can meet with students. So I just thought it was a really interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
And also, again, people want to know information on school board candidates. One of the best places to go is to the local League of Women Voters website. The
Herald Times website has it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and CATS, if you want to log on to Community Access Television, certainly there's a League of Women Voters forum that people can check out too.
All right, Sue, good job as always. We appreciate the time. Sorry about your Indians. Next time we'll talk to you on Thursday. We'll figure out who's won all these elections. How that referendum was passed or voted down, and we'll hear all about it next Thursday.
And also next Thursday, we have a work session.
Oh, really?
Right,
yes.
Keith?
School board, yes.
Wait a second.
Yes,
next
a
Thursday?
School board,
yeah.
Yes, well, Tuesday's election day, and there's no school.
Yeah.
You know, school, the kids are out.
The fourth Tuesday of every month is not next Thursday. That would be my confusion.
I know. We have some work that we have to do, and so we're going to have a work session, and that'll be at 5:30 on Thursday.
Well, then you'll remind us of that next Thursday.
That's right.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. Just popped into my brain.
Perfect. And, give us a reminder when we talk to you next Thursday morning.
Okie dokie.
All right, thanks, Sue. Sorry about your Indians.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein both serve on the MCCSE school board. And join us every Thursday morning just after 8:05 to talk about local education issues affecting our community.